What does it take to win a decades-long struggle without triggering the apocalypse? Between 1945 and 1991, America and the Soviet Union waged a twilight struggle, a contest that blended geopolitical chess with ideological warfare, nuclear brinksmanship with economic competition. Today, as authoritarian powers reassert themselves on the world stage, understanding how America won the Cold War isn't just academic nostalgia. It's a survival manual for navigating the dangerous rivalries ahead. After World War II shattered American isolationism, a new question haunted Washington. How do you confront an aggressive superpower without repeating the catastrophe you just survived? The answer emerged not from military planners, but from a diplomat named George Kennan, who argued that the Soviet Union, driven by paranoia and communist ideology, could be contained through adroit and vigilant application of counterforce. This wasn't about matching Soviet tanks division for division. Instead, containment focused on rebuilding the industrial powerhouses of Western Europe and Japan, turning economic strength into a firewall against communist expansion. The Marshall Plan was strategic defense, not charity. By 1946, Europe faced famine, extremism, and economic collapse, conditions that threatened to hand Stalin victories without conflict. American dollars rebuilt factories, stabilized currencies, and gave people reason to reject revolution. Containment's brilliance lay in providing clear strategic direction while allowing tactical adaptation. It rallied both parties and played to American strengths, industrial capacity, technological innovation, economic dynamism, while exploiting Soviet weaknesses. The Cold War's most decisive battlefield was the global economy. America pursued a milieu strategy, reshaping the international environment rather than confronting Moscow directly. The results were staggering. Japan's share of world GDP quadrupled between 1950 and 1970. Western Europe averaged 5.5% annual growth. Democracies exploded from roughly a dozen during World War II to 120 by 2000. Meanwhile, wars between major capitalist powers, which had defined the century's first half, became unthinkable. NATO nearly collapsed repeatedly. Eisenhower economically punished Britain and France after their 1956 Egypt invasion, forcing Eden's resignation. De Gaulle withdrew France from NATO's military command. Europeans opposed Reagan's 1980s missile deployments. The Bretton Woods system collapsed. Yet, the alliance survived through six principles: distinguishing greater from lesser evils, avoiding constant coercion, soliciting input from weaker members, using institutions that diluted American dominance while ensuring cooperation, creating new institutions for emerging challenges, and maintaining perspective that leadership costs were worthwhile. The Soviet threat made internal squabbles seem trivial, but smart coalition management prevented fracture. America learned that building the free world required economic integration, institutional flexibility, and treating allies as partners rather than subordinates. This approach transformed potential rivals into committed partners, creating a zone of prosperity and democracy that ultimately proved irresistible to those behind the Iron Curtain. When the Soviets tested their first atomic bomb in 1949, the psychological shockwave exceeded the military impact. Any future war meant mutual destruction. Eisenhower's New Look strategy slashed conventional forces and made nuclear weapons the primary deterrent. The arsenal exploded from 1,169 warheads in 1953 to over 22,000 by 1961. NATO commanders received pre-delegated authority to use tactical nukes. Even Eisenhower admitted the war plan frightened the devil out of me. Kennedy tried flexible response, building conventional forces for limited wars while maintaining nuclear options. But the Cuban Missile Crisis exposed the fatal flaw. Conventional conflicts risked nuclear escalation. Yet without credible threats, how could America defend distant allies? Kennedy, despite a 7-to-1 nuclear advantage, considered even one Soviet missile hitting America unacceptable. This contradiction haunted American strategy for decades. Defending allies required threatening nuclear war, but actually fighting one was unthinkable. The solution wasn't elegant. It was managing this paradox carefully enough to avoid disaster while maintaining deterrence. Sometimes, the best strategy isn't resolving contradictions, but learning to live with them. By the late 1970s, Moscow faced its own Vietnam, defending repressive regimes against insurgencies. Afghanistan became their quagmire. Soviet soldiers lacked a cause while Afghan fighters waged holy war. Reagan exploited this through the Reagan Doctrine, supporting anti-communist rebels in Afghanistan, Nicaragua, Angola, and Cambodia. Defensively, his administration poured billions into El Salvador while pushing reforms to undercut insurgencies. Offensively, American support made Soviet client states bleed resources and legitimacy. The moral compromises were stark. Supporting Afghan Islamic radicals and Nicaraguan Contras meant backing ruthless characters and inflicting civilian suffering. The Iran-Contra affair revealed how far the administration would circumvent congressional oversight. Yet the strategy worked. American debt strategy nudged countries toward market reforms, democratic openings spread across Latin America and Asia, and the Reagan Doctrine imposed unbearable costs on Soviet clients. The lesson wasn't that ends justify means, but that sustainable strategy must align with national values. Winning requires not just strategic brilliance, but maintaining enough moral legitimacy to sustain public support through decades of competition. While armies faced off across the Iron Curtain, a quieter war unfolded behind enemy lines. Political warfare, measures short of war, designed to weaken adversaries, proved essential to containment. America built an extensive apparatus. Radio for Europe, broadcasting truth behind the Iron Curtain. Covert operations supporting resistance movements. Economic pressure creating fissures in the Soviet bloc. The greatest prize was splitting the Sino-Soviet alliance. When border clashes brought Moscow and Beijing to the brink of war, Nixon seized the opening, transforming Cold War dynamics. Meanwhile, the Soviet bloc rotted from within. Eastern European debt ballooned from $6 billion in 1970 to $56 billion in 1980. Helsinki's human rights provisions became rallying points for dissidents. Increased East-West contact exposed citizens to their country's backwardness, while economic dependence on Western banks made violent repression costly. Reagan intensified this approach, refusing to legitimize the Kremlin while exploiting its vulnerabilities. Victory required not just military strength, but ideological confidence and the willingness to play the long game. The Berlin Wall's fall in November 1989 was carefully orchestrated through pressure and diplomacy. Reagan's two-stage strategy first intensified the Cold War through military buildup, support for anti-communist rebels, and the Strategic Defense Initiative, pushing Soviet resources to breaking point. Then he built a golden bridge, cornering the Soviets on three sides while offering escape from unbearable competition, avoiding desperate reactions. Mikhail Gorbachev proved the right partner, a communist willing to abandon dogmas for reform. The 1987 INF Treaty required Soviets to destroy 1,500 deployed missiles versus America's 350, the Cold War's most asymmetrical arms control agreement. Bush's endgame management proved equally masterful. He refused premature victory declarations, wanting decisive triumph. When the Berlin Wall fell unexpectedly, he reunified Germany within NATO, ending Europe's bipolar system. As one Soviet general admitted, "We have lost World War III without a shot being fired." Today's lessons resonate as authoritarian powers reassert themselves. Success in long-term competition requires strategic clarity, coalition building, managing contradictions, exploiting adversary weaknesses, maintaining moral legitimacy, and combining pressure with diplomatic off-ramps. The deepest lesson: winning twilight struggles demands patience, wisdom, and thinking in decades rather than election cycles. America won the Cold War through decades of adaptation, learning, and persistence, qualities equally essential for competitions ahead.